and it messed me up.
Amen.
Boy, it's something about that bond. He wants it all.
Yes, Lord.
That song says it all.
Yes.
Let us go before the throne of grace one more time as we prepare our hearts to hear what thus saith the Lord. Father in heaven, we bless you. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. And Lord, we come out of love to do your bidding. Your son Jesus Christ said, the measure of our love for you is through our obedience to your command. Father, you've commanded us to assemble in this place today. You've commanded us to hearken and to hear the word of the Lord. Not only to hear, but to do according to your good pleasure. So Father, in and of myself, I cannot speak to your people. I can't touch them, Lord, the way you want them to be touched. But Father, when you use me, when you speak through me, Father God, when you allow, Father God, the anointing to rest upon me, Lord, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And so, Father, I thank you for ears to hear
thank you, Lord.
What the Spirit is saying today. I thank you, Lord God, for the seed of your word, Lord, which will germinate and grow and bear much fruit in our hearts, Lord God, manifest in our lives so that men might see our good works and glorify you, our Father, which art in heaven. So, Father, let the words of my mouth and the deep meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Elder Grantham asked, is there someone with a report regarding the crusade that was conducted by our dear brother, minister, Dr. Chauncey Stokes? And having had the opportunity to go down for the Friday evening portion of the service, I surely was blessed. So much so that the word that the Lord gave Chauncey, the text is same text we're going to look at today.
Amen.
And judging by the flow of the Spirit, we're on target because we've been talking about prayer.
Yes.
And as many of you know, I called us to fast and pray this month so that we might seek and to do the will of God in our church. Now it goes just beyond a place of worship, something we've been entreating the Lord. It goes beyond that. Many of us have illnesses. Many of us have challenges in our personal lives. Many of us have challenges in our finances. Many of us are looking to God for answers. And so if we will embrace the word of God today with joy, God is poised to do a miracle.
Amen.
And so, beloved, if you would, turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And we're going to begin with verse 1, and then we'll read through verse 17. Again, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, and we'll read through verse 17. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Holy Writ. When you're there, say hallelujah. Okay. Still others trying to find it. It's in the Old Testament. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. Beginning with verse 1. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Say,
set myself
to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Say, Lord, you will hear and save. Verse 10, And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Say, Lord, our eyes are upon you. Amen. Verse 13, Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, Listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen.
Say, the battle is not mine,
but God.
Thank you. Verse 16, Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook where the wilderness of Juriel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you.
Amen.
And beloved, I want to speak on the subject of position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And I want to give you the conclusion before we even get into the message. You see, when the people of God have the right mindset, when the people of God, through their trust and complete faith in Almighty God, when the people of God see God as being much bigger and greater than the circumstances, the challenges, the vicissitudes of this life, and they begin to call upon God and they begin to praise God, that sets them up to receive and to experience a miracle. And I believe God wants to do miraculous works in our midst, Christ Fellowship. And that's why I believe for this time and for this season, He has called us to fast and pray and to seek His face.
Yes.
Now, how many of you need a miracle in your life?
Amen. Amen.
Now, every hand ought to go
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know I do.
Amen.
But if we will embrace the word of God, he will begin to show us when we have the right mindset and we do not allow fear to enter in.
Amen.
We do not allow the circumstances and situations to deter us from seeking God with our whole heart, which means sometimes we got to press in.
Yes.
Sometimes we've got to lay down things that we are used to doing, things that we like to do, things that we enjoy, so that we can consecrate ourselves to God, so that we can have his full time and attention, so that he can speak to us, and so that he can give us the guidance and direction that he desires for us to have. Because this God that we serve is a great God.
Amen.
The God that we serve is so great that he created the universes, the solar system, and he spoke it out of nothing.
Yes.
God barak creation. In other words, when he spoke it, he spoke nothing and it became something.
Amen.
And I'm talking about the God that created even our solar system.
Yes.
He placed the sun, the largest star in our solar system, 93 million miles away from Earth. He set Earth at an axis so that it would receive the rays of the sun. It would revolve around the sun in 365.5 days. He set the moon so that it would be aligned with the Earth, so that it would influence the tide, so that it would have an environment for you and I to live and to succeed in.
Yeah.
God created these things just out of his mouth.
Yeah.
God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he divided the light from the darkness. He says the darkness had to listen and to heed the voice of Almighty God. He separated the darkness from the light. He made the greater light, the sun, the lesser light, the moon. And he positioned these things in their courses, and they have to stay there.
Amen.
And I'm talking about that kind of God who set the boundaries for the sea. I'm talking about the kind of God who created this world so that you and I can live in this world. You and I can subsist.
Yes.
You and I can dominate this world because he ordained for us to be the head and not the tail. He ordained for us to be blessed and not cursed. He ordained for us to represent him in the earth. I'm talking about the God that can make a way out of no way.
Wow.
I'm talking about a God who can create rivers in the middle of a desert.
Yes.
I'm talking about a God who can level mountains. I'm talking about a God who nothing is impossible with him. I'm talking about a God who was so bad. Hallelujah. He had to swear by himself so that he could be in covenant relationship with his people. I'm talking about a God right now. If you and I will begin to seek him with our whole heart, if you and I will be willing to lay down some of the creature comforts of this life for a season.
Yeah.
If you and I have a sincere heart to hear what God is saying to us, because he's speaking to us, God will begin to give us great and mighty things which we know not of. Yeah. And in this passage, we see what happens in life. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we're tooling along, going along real smooth. You see, when we look at this passage, the kingdom of Israel was divided. You had the northern kingdom, then you had the southern kingdom. You had the Israels, the children of Israel, then you had Judah. And they had their own separate kingdoms. They had their own kings. And look out throughout history, they had some righteous kings and they had some evil kings. And the way of the people rose and fell with the way the kings responded and had a relationship with God. And God being a gracious God, God being a merciful God, even when there were evil kings, he looked upon his people with compassion. Even though there were evil kings and the people had turned their back on God and began to serve other pagan gods like Baal, God continued to look to those people and to give them situations and circumstances to repent and to turn from their evil ways so that he can bless them, so that he can have a relationship with them. And I know that God is calling his people, the church, back to himself. We have to take our eyes off of the problems that we see. We have to take our eyes off of our own personal issues. And we need to look to God, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We need to look to God, who is the only one who is able to completely and fully deliver us from everything that we're dealing with this day. And God wants us to understand and know if we will position ourselves, if we will stand still, if we will have the heart to be willing to sacrifice ourselves, God wants us to experience a miracle. So let's go to the text here, because I have four key points that I want to bring forth from this passage of scripture. And see, when God deals with people, when he wants to do a miracle, there's always a leader who has captured the heart of God. And in this case, King Jehoshaphat, he was the son of the former king Asa, the son. His dad was a wicked man. His dad had turned the people away from God. His dad had created idols, high places where people would, you know, worship foreign gods, pagan gods. But Jehoshaphat, the Bible tells us, found favor with God. He walked with God. He trained the people in the ways of God. He taught them throughout Judah and Jerusalem the word of God. He taught them the Pentateuch. And so he returned his people back to serving the true and living God. But what happened was, sometimes people can't deal with success. People are jealous when they see you doing well. People don't want to see you prosper. People don't want to see you advance. People don't want to see that the blessings of God will remain on you. So they try to disrupt you. And we call them our enemies. Mm-hmm. And our enemies come in many forms. Sometimes they come from without the body of Christ. Sometimes, unfortunately, they come within the body of Christ, and sometimes they come within our own heart. Because we decide to go our own way. Amen. We decide to lean on our own understanding. And whenever we distance ourselves and disconnect ourselves from God, we distance and disconnect ourselves from the blessings. We distance and disconnect ourselves from the covenant promises that he has given us. And God has to set in motion occurrences and situations to bring us back to him. And so God used a situation where a contingent of kingdoms wanted to come against Jehoshaphat and his people. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "And it happened that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.'" Here's point number one. It says, "And Joshua feared and set himself to seek the Lord." I want to deal with that portion of scripture right now. Well, as we will see later, these same nations, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Syrians, God had told the children of Israel at a point when they could have destroyed them and taken their booty to not destroy them, to let them go, and to let them be servants of them. Well, these people began to get big and bold. And they decided they were going to turn against the very people who released them, the very people who showed them favor. And so they mounted a legion against Jehoshaphat and his people. And they far outnumbered Jehoshaphat and his people. And so point number one, God, it doesn't take a whole lot for God to do what he wants to do. God is not into big numbers. Hallelujah. And we like to see big numbers. We like to see, full churches. We like to see, thousands of people. But I'm here to tell you, if their hearts aren't right, that doesn't matter to God. God can deal with a few people who have a sincere heart, a few people who diligently seek him, and he can do great and mighty things with those people. And Jehoshaphat and his people were those people. But it says in verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, I know the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But the human part of us is when we are about to encounter something that is threatening, life-threatening to us, we're going to have a period of fear. Amen? But the question is, do we continue to walk in that fear? Do we continue to let that fear consume us? Or do we take it to God like Jehoshaphat did and called out to him and consecrated him and the people through the fast so that they could hear from the Lord? Now, too many of us, we're dealing with fear.
Amen.
We're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Amen.
We're worried or we perceive what could happen next month, next week. That's not promised us.
Amen.
We only have today. And so this is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. If we believe that God has numbered our days, if we believe that God is our shepherd, if we believe that, God will provide for us, protect us, then what are we worried about?
Amen.
And so we need to deal with the fears that are in our lives.
Yeah.
Now, some of us come in here bound up. We don't want to praise God. We don't want to worship him because we're bound up. We're encumbered with the cares of the world.
Amen.
And God wants to release you from that bondage today. God wants you to give that thing over to him, believing that he's able to deliver you from that thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
And that's why I was so blessed to see Chauncey and Sherry go through with this crusade.
Amen.
He never had to, plan a crusade before.
Amen.
He had to go out of town and get, his people from Rocky Mount, whom he probably hadn't had relationships with many of them for many years, to organize this thing. But Sherry blessed my heart 2 weeks ago. She says, look, if it's in but 3 people out of 10, we're going to do this thing.
Amen.
And see, that's the kind of dogged faith you and I have to have. Look, if God ain't going to get me through this thing, it ain't going to happen.
Amen.
And so when we take on that kind of mentality, guess what? That moves the heart of God. And when the people of God, they say, look, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to put my plate down. I'm going to sanctify and consecrate myself to the Lord for a season. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. That moves the heart of God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
It does. Yes, it does.
And God wants to do great and mighty things through his people.
Yes.
So it says that Jehoshaphat feared. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord.
Amen.
It says that the cities of Judah and Jerusalem, the people within, came together. You see, that's why it's very important when we desire God's direction and his guidance, that we take some time and we come together and we pray and seek God's face. I don't mean no harm, but there are times when praying by yourself just ain't enough.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm saying such a time as this.
Amen.
When the people of God want to seek God, when the people of God have a sincere desire to get direction and guidance from God, when the people of God become on one accord and God sees that, he knows that we're serious. And it's good that we come together, because what happens is we begin to experience God through the lives and testimonies of people we otherwise wouldn't do apart from each other. Amen?
Amen.
And God can speak to any one of you in here. Hallelujah. Yes, he speaks to his leaders. But God can speak through any one of us. And when we come together, who knows who God is going to speak through? So Jehoshaphat called a fast. He gathered the people together from the cities. And it says, they stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And listen to the prayer of Jehoshaphat, because this is a prayer of boldness. And see, when you have a relationship with God and you know God's character, you know his heart, you can pray boldly before the Lord. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? In other words, he's saying, look, Lord, aren't you the same God who delivered us from our adversaries? Aren't you the same God who caused us to inherit and to inhabit this land, this possession that you've given us? Aren't you the God who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing? No one can withstand you. He says, look, and are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? He says, and now these people, they're coming to take away this inheritance. But we're going to stand right here in your temple. We're going to stand here and we're going to proclaim your name. We're going to stand here regardless if disaster comes, if pestilence comes, if the sword comes, whatever it is. We're going to stand in your temple, in your sanctuary, and we're going to declare the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to stand still and we're going to see your salvation, oh God.
Yes.
Because, Lord, you have already delivered us. You have a history of delivering your people. You have a history of blessing your people. You have a history, oh God, of protecting your people. And God, I'm not going to allow this great multitude. I'm not going to allow what my human fear tells me. I'm not going to allow that to affect my relationship with you.
Uh-huh.
Now, many of us, we're at a crossroads. We have some decisions to make. God has placed us in a position where we can only go to him. And I'm crying out to us today. The way to do it is to diligently seek God. Go to God and tell God, Lord, I need you. Lord, I know you can deliver me out of this situation and this circumstance. Lord, you're the God of heaven and earth. Lord, the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you. The earth is yours, the fullness thereof. Lord, there is nothing that you cannot do. And then begin to explain your situation to God and say, God, look, I'm believing you. You're going to deliver me out of this thing. You're going to bless me. That's what the testimony of the people was all about. That God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, even above that which we ask or think. But it takes you and I to be fully persuaded and convinced. And the way we do that is through our actions.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if we really believe that God is God, the God of the Bible, who he says he is, and who he's demonstrated he is, guess what? It won't take a whole lot for us to be willing to make some changes. Because, see, here's the thing with God. Now, it's going to sound a little strange, but God understands that you and I have a nature to want to know, if I do this, God, what's in it for me? All right? Sounds strange, doesn't it? Let me explain myself. All right? God says, look, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He says, if you follow my word, he says, look, you will bear much fruit. God puts all these conditions on his response to our response to him. And so God wants us to understand and know that, look, yes, there's a great blessing in it for you if you serve me, but there come certain conditions. There are terms. There are rules that I have set up. And the rules are grievous. And as New Testament believers, all the rules we have to do is love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then and when we do that, the natural outflow would be to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so if our motivation is born out of a love for God, for what he has done for us, then anything he instructs us to do, any guidance and direction that he gives us in his word should not be hard. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now I can tell some children in here, when your parents are rewarding of you when you have good behavior, you make good grades in school, you have, you know, you're obedient at home, all right? Out of your love for them, you want to do that. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, hey, I'm going to get blessed if I have this behavior. Amen. Because if I go against my parents' rules, I know there are some consequences.
Amen.
That's if we're disciplining our children, you know, in the right fashion. And I believe we are.
Amen.
But God is the same way. Doesn't not the word say that he chastens those whom he loves?
Yes, ma'am.
And he chastens those whom he loves. Why? Because he wants to get us down the path that's going to lead to righteousness, that's going to lead to peace, that's going to lead to joy, that's going to lead to our blessings. And God has demonstrated to us time and time again that he is more than able. But let's go back to the text verse 10. He says, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. So, you know, if you're going to have a pity party, have it with God.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Have a little talk with Jesus.
All right.
Yes. Look. He'll make everything all right.
Yeah.
Tell him all about your trouble. There you go, Carol. And God can handle it. But see, what happens is we want to go to somebody else. We want to moan and whine and complain to somebody else.
Amen.
And God is looking like, wait a minute now.
I'm the one.
Aren't I the one who can deliver them? Aren't
Amen.
I the one
who,
you know, set them up in the first place?
Well.
To have what they have, to be where they are?
Well,
did not I create them? Gifted them? And so when we take our complaints and our worries and all that to other people, God is offended.
Yes, sir.
Right
now. Amen.
Come on.
Say so.
Now think about it. I want you to think about it. Adults, I'm talking to adults. Those of us who are married, suppose your husband or your wife went to someone outside of your marriage and discussed your financial problems, or discussed your relational problems. They went outside and didn't even talk to you about it. How would you feel?
Well,
offended. Thank you, Mother Emma. And that's what we do. And beloved, I just want us to understand that, look, God is a personal God. God wants to relate to us in such a way that we can go to him with whatever's on our heart. And he can handle it.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to suggest this, but I'm telling you, God can handle it. Rather than go cuss somebody out, you need to go to God and say, God, I feel like Now, I'm not condoning that. But I'm saying that's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go to verse 12. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Amen.
There are circumstances and situations where we just don't know what to do.
Amen.
We just don't know what to do. And unless you really get to know someone and hear their testimony, a lot of times you don't know what they're going through.
Well,
that's right. Amen. Well. Sure don't.
But the right approach is so that whatever it is, we need to take it to God first. We let God know what's on our mind, what's on our heart, what's troubling us.
Well.
But we take it to God because what? Our eyes should be fixated on Christ Jesus. He made us sit in heavenly places with him, he says, far above all principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, wickedness in high places. He placed us in a position where we can have a direct conversation with him, spiritually speaking. Just like Gene and John are sitting next to each other and can talk to one another, we sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Yes, amen.
And we can talk to the Savior.
Yes.
Talk to God through the Savior.
Amen. Yes.
Just like that. But we need to, you know, think about and really understand what we're talking about here. God wants us to understand we can come to him for anything.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, it says, I like this, verse 13. We're getting through this. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children,
praise God,
stood before the Lord.
Amen.
I like that. You see, Jehoshaphat, being a great leader, he involved the entire family, the entire congregation.
Yes.
I'm saying to myself, I'm saying to us, folks, it might not be a bad idea while we're going through this season of fasting and praying that we bring our children to a meeting one night. I don't know how long. God told me to start the fast in October. I don't know how long we're going to do it, folks. I don't know how long. I'll let you know when he tells us to break the fast and the prayer when we gather together. But I'm saying as long as we're in that mode, it's not a bad idea to bring your children. We won't keep them there the whole hour and a half. We understand they have homework and they have things to do. But I'm saying they need to experience being in the presence of God where his people are praying, crying out to him so that they too can get an understanding of what it means to gather together in prayer and consecration unto God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Then come upon King Jehoshaphat, it came upon one whom God selected, one who was a praiser, hallelujah.
Amen.
He was of the Levitical order. And it says that he said, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, and I say to us, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of whatever it is you and I are going through, whatever challenges we have. Even though some say our church, we've been in the desert for all these years that we've gathered. I take exception to that a little bit because when you're in a desert situation, that's a real tough environment. That's a very challenging environment. Now, even though we've been different places, God has provided us a clean place to worship, a comfortable place, all right? But the point I'm trying to make here is that when we come to go to the Lord and we have concerns about what he has or has not done or what we have not seen from him, what we need to do is understand and know that God is still at work.
Yes.
And that the circumstance and the situation should not determine how we act toward him. And he says, look, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I'm saying to you, Christ Fellowship, the battle is not yours, it's God's.
Right.
If you are a child of God, if you're a member of his family, And if you approach God in sincere faith, believing that he will deliver you, you begin to speak to the circumstance and the situation.
Amen.
And you let him know.
Amen.
That look, this battle is not mine.
Yes.
It's the Lord's.
Yes.
And so if the battle is the Lord's, so is the challenges we're dealing with.
Yes.
Whatever they are, they're not ours, they're God's.
Amen.
And he's told them, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up against by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them there, the end of the brook, where before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. He says, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, God wants to go before us. God is our shield and our buckler. He's our strong tower where the righteous can run into and find safety. God is the one who goes before us. And the battle is really not ours when we turn it over to God and truly give it to him and not take it back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Angie, for that proclamation of faith. She will see a miracle. She will see her son Mark pass these batteries of tests because she has spoken it.
Yes.
And you see what Jehoshaphat did? That's an example for us. He spoke these things. God, listen, there's none who can withstand you. You're the God of heaven and earth. You're the God who delivered us out of the hands of our enemies. You're the God who gave us our possession. God, even though I see this great army coming at us, I'm not going to be dismayed. I'm not going to be fearful because, Lord, I know the battle is not mine, but it's yours.
Amen.
And what happens is God set up the circumstances so that, look, they didn't even have to pick up a weapon of warfare.
Well,
hallelujah. Yeah. What happened in verse 18? It says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You see, that's a position of battle, quote unquote, if you will. Get yourself on your knees.
Yes, hallelujah.
Begin to praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give him some crazy praise, as
yes,
they say.
Lord. Amen.
What's the word says? It says he sets a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. And see, when we're sitting down, getting our grub on, shoot, I ain't worried about that. I'm going to get my grub on, right? I'm going to enjoy my meal. God says, look, we can sit down before a table and eat, even though the enemies are coming toward us. Why? Because the battle in ours is God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They're not going to touch us. And so, beloved, what I'm calling us to do as your under-shepherd is that there are many things that we need to go before the Lord and seek his face.
Yeah.
You know, the place of worship, that's just one thing. That's just one thing. But a lot of us need personal guidance and direction.
Amen.
Many of us have illnesses that the doctors can't even diagnose. But as we cry out to God and seek him and fast, God will begin to show us what to do, who to contact. He began to reveal to the doctors what the situation is. We're finding that true with Ariel.
Amen.
She went to Children's Hospital a week or so ago. And the doctors and specialists that examined her determined that she did not have Crohn's disease. They were treating her and giving her meds for Crohn's disease. Right, Cindy?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so they began to take her off some of the meds for Crohn's disease.
You.
And her body began to respond in a positive manner.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo.
Now that's an answer to prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're still praying her through this thing, Cindy. We're interceding until we see her complete healing.
Amen.
But the point I'm trying to make is God is faithful.
Amen.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
And what he says is what? There is power in prayer.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
and so, beloved, God is calling us to a season where he wants us to just position ourselves. And the position I'm talking about is to set our heart in a mode where we're going to just take some time out. I know some of you can't stop eating because of your medications. Some of you might have other extenuating circumstances where you may not be able to physically fast from food. But there are other things that you can take time out and set that time aside for the Lord.
Amen.
And to spend in prayer. And you'll be fasting from whatever that thing is you normally do.
Amen.
Now, how many of you get a lunch break at 12 o'clock? 12 o'clock. I'm trying to determine. You see, I think, well, since we're on this time of prayer and fasting, it would be good if we all can agree on a time where we're just going to stop what we're doing and begin to pray and just ask God, Lord, give us guidance and direction.
Amen.
As a church. Lord, give me guidance and direction in whatever situation you're going through. You know it better than I do. And if we could all be calling up to God about the same time of the day, I believe that's more effective. Of course, we're going to get together on Thursday evenings, but that's only once a week. You know, we need to, you know, have daily fasting and praying. And if we can agree on a time where we're praying together, then I believe that's effective. So, is noon a good time for most people? Or, I just want to hear from you. Is noon good? All right, because I'll get the word out. So, beginning tomorrow, we're going to begin to set some time at noon. And we're just going to pray and ask the Lord for guidance and direction. All right? It doesn't have to be, you know, anything, you know, comprehensive. You know your situation. I'm telling you the needs of the church. We're asking God for guidance and direction as it relates to a gathering place. We're asking God for guidance and direction as it relates to the healing of our brothers and sisters. We're asking for guidance and direction in the stewardship over our finances. Our ministries, you all know what to pray for. And so God has given us a message today. He's given us a prescription. If we will not allow the circumstance or situation to dictate to us how we're going to respond, but we tell the circumstance or the situation how great our God is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're not going to have none of that, worry. You're not going to allow that thing to impact your relationship with your God. And you call upon God and begin to worship him in advance. Hallelujah. Yeah. Marvin Sapp said, what, praise him in advance?
Yeah.
See, that's faith.
Yes.
And so when we get in that mindset, God did a miracle. The enemy set ambushments against the enemy. They turned on each other and they killed one another. And they didn't have to do a thing but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe God wants to do miracles in our midst, beloved. So if we can come together in prayers and fasting, and as many of you can come out on Thursday evenings in my office suite, come on out. And I promise you, God is going to speak. He's going to move. And we're going to see all kinds of breakthroughs because the heart of the people, God has found favor with. And when he finds favor, he makes our enemies our footstool. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So position, let us position ourselves. We're going to stand still and wait on the salvation of the Lord because God wants to do great and mighty things in and through his people. Father God, we thank you.